studying Bhagavad Gita, chapter
18, verse 24. Which means that... Oh, okay. Which means it's taken more than 2 years for us to reach this spot, huh? Wow. It's a long journey. What Krishna spoke in 1 hour is taking you 2 years. And in that time, people have come and gone. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nope. I don't have my glasses. I'm not going to be. Yeah, please, if you're not trying to make it bigger, yeah. Sorry. And then I'll give you this one. There's no purport.
Is good or more?
Huh? Oh, that's very good, yeah. What's your name?
Sasha.
Sasha, okay. Does it work? Yeah.
All ages.
Let's see. I don't know. The magic garland. The garland of clarity. The garland of buddhi. The glasses of mystical vision. Oh, that's good. How does that work? Okay. Special cities, yeah. Yatu Kamepsuna Karma. Yatu kamepsuna karma. Yatu kamepsuna karma. Sahankarena. Sahankarena. Va punaha. Sahankarena va punaha. Kriyate bahula sa, excuse me, kriyate bahulayasam, kriyate bahulayasam, tadrajasam, tadrajasam, udahritam, yatu kamepsuna karma, Sahankarena vapuna kriyate bahulayasam tadrajasam udaritam. If you've got a Gita in front of you, you can have a go. Yatu kamepsuna karma.
Thank you.
Yet, oh, we don't have to do this. Yeah, okay. Translation. But action performed with great effort by one seeking to gratify his desires and enacted from a sense of false ego is called action in the mode of passion. Could you say that in Slovenian for me, please? Yeah, I'll say a few words. There's a collective purport in after the next verse, but it's worth saying a few things here. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Wonderful to be back. I cannot remember the last time I was here. Was it
too long?
Too long. My name is Kripa Moya. This is my wife, Guru Charana Padma. We are from London, the city of passion, the city of false ego, exactly what has been talked about in this verse here. Unfortunately, in London, we have had some not very good things happen over the past, how long has it been? 1 month, I think. Just last week, we had a big fire and a tower block. You maybe saw the news?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe, we don't know how many people died, maybe 100, maybe 70, something like that. But as the news is coming out, we are finding that it was not because there was insufficient money to pay for the right materials, but we're finding that it was because people wanted to make money, to receive money from the central government and to spend less so that there was more money to spend on sending donations to very rich people so that they would vote for that particular political party in the next election. This is only just coming out in the last couple of days. You know this, Devi? You're hearing. At the same time as they were fixing these pieces of cladding, inflammable material on the side of the building, they were also paying off people who were by asking them to vote for them in the next local election, not the national, but the local election. So this is the mode of passion. It's very harmful. There's a great effort done by people, and the results are that the ego is served. What leads to disaster is always three things, Krishna says. There's lust, greed, and anger. These lead down to hell. So in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is giving a conclusion, and he's describing different types of activity. Because unless we know these different types of activity, we won't know what to do and what not to do. And one of the big problems now is that people don't know what to do, and they don't know what not to do. They don't know what will give them ultimate happiness. They don't know what will make them unhappy. We are living in times when everybody is making a big experiment, and people's goals are more and more for the satisfaction of themselves and less for service to the people. In the family, that is also true. Sometimes mother and father, they cannot serve their children. They're so busy enjoying that when the children come, they cannot serve their own children. I'm too busy to look after my child. But I'll work very hard and I will pay someone else to look after my child. Politicians are also too busy because as well as being a politician, they also have some business on the side. So I will make my business suit my politics, and my politics suit my business. In English, we call this a conflict of interest. I have to, in the beginning of a meeting in London, you're meant to say, "I am sorry, I have a conflict of interest." Because the government has said every child going to school should have a free banana. But my brother, he runs a banana company. So I have to be honest with everybody here. I have some interest. There's a conflict for me. So I will go outside and I'll come back into the meeting. But now, they don't do that. People don't declare always a conflict of interest. So I am a politician, but my wife is running the banana business. You understand? It's my wife. It had nothing to do with me. My wife is running the banana business, but I'm making decision. No, every child should have a banana. You see how it is? Prabhupada said that if you vote and one day you decide that a man who makes the shoes, he's a poor man usually making the shoes, working with leather, and he's a muji. He's making the shoes. He said, if you vote for him to become the president, then the first executive order that he signs, thank you, Shasha, the first executive order that he signs will be that all the money in the kingdom must be made of leather. Because he's the man who's got all the leather. So he automatically becomes the richest man. So everybody will act according to their own selfish interest. This goes from the tiny amoeba, a tiny amoeba that you cannot see with the naked eye. You need a microscope like this to see it. Put these and you can see amoebas. So amoeba, tiny amoeba, will run away when something is trying to eat it. And if it sees a piece of protein, it will move towards it and like that. Amoeba has practically no intelligence, but they know sankalpa, vikalpa. Sankalpa means I will do this. Vikalpa means I will not do this. Every living being is really just a creature is making a decision every second, every 2 seconds, I will do this. I will listen to this Bhagavad Gita lecture. I will not listen to this Bhagavad Gita lecture. I will think about Mahaprasadam now. I will not think about Mahaprasadam. Now I am hot. What is he saying? I cannot understand his English. Our stream of consciousness is based on sankalpa vikalpa, things I like, things I don't like. And according to the mode of nature, sattva, rajas, tamas, you will see things differently and act differently. There are three men. Okay, three men. One is not Sasha. One is called Tamash. Tamash. He's called Tamash. The other one is called Rajash, Raja. And the other one is called Sattva. And they all go into a forest, a beautiful forest in Slovenia. You have 60% forest in Slovenia, very nice country. In England, we have 60% concrete. 60%. So they go into a forest, and Sattvash, he goes into the forest first, and he looks around, and he sees, oh, this is a very beautiful forest. I hear the birds. I see the butterflies. I hear the cuckoo. Oh, I will go and write some poetry on the sound of a cuckoo in a Slovenian forest. I hear a beautiful water, a little stream, and I see the sun coming through the leaves. What a wonderful place. And is that the smell of a rose? See? This is Satvash. This is his experience. This is his reality. But he's not selfish. He thinks to himself, I'm going to go to the local government in Ljubljana, and I'm going to tell them we should start a nature walk so that everybody here from the city can come and they can enjoy this nice local nature. So he goes away. 5 minutes later comes Rajesh, or Roger. You have the name Roger in Slovenia? Huh? What's the name? Rajko. Okay, so Rajko. He comes in, and Rajko is a bit of a businessman. So he comes in, and he's standing in exactly the same place. Exactly the same place. But he can't hear, ooh-ooh. He can't hear, shh. He can't smell the roses. In fact, all his senses are only about one thing. How to make money. And he looks around and he sees some trees. And he says, I am going to come with 5 friends and I'm going to cut that tree. I have a chainsaw. And I will cut them up and I will make some logs and I will sell them to people in Ljubljana for their log burning wood fires. Okay? I don't know how much he would get because wood is cheap in Slovenia, right? It's really cheap. And the other one, I will turn it into a table. So I'm going to make a table. The other, I'll make logs for my fire. So he goes away and he's got his plan. And then 5 minutes later comes Tomáš. So Tomáš, he looks around. And he can't hear anything. He can't hear. Nope, nothing. Because all he hears is the sound of his own mind. Because he's been drinking the vino. Slovenio. Nice grapes. Fermented grapes. But his mind is also fermenting. In India, they say he is puggle, puggle. His mind is spinning. When a man is drunk in India, they say, oh, he is chakram. Chakram. It means his head is spinning like a wheel. Like Krishna has a chakra, he has a chakram. So his head is spinning. And all he sees is a nice tree. And he has to do his business, his urine business. And that's all he sees. Then he sees another tree and he goes and he lies down. That's all he sees. He goes to sleep. So 3 men, exactly the same place, but the reality that they experience is completely different because of upadi. Upadi means designation. And each person is trying to enjoy. But each person, their enjoyment is in a different mode of nature. The first man, his mode of nature is more about appreciating the beauty of Mother Nature. And not only that, but of giving that to everybody else, sharing that. The second person comes and it's all about me. Aham mameti. Me, my, mine. I and mineness. And the third person is, he has no clear sense of even his own identity. He certainly doesn't know where he is. No. And he just goes to sleep. So his consciousness is from mad to unconsciousness. So in this way, people see the world not as it is, but as they are. They see through. So one person has some nice blue glasses. Another person has some red glasses. And another person has some black glasses. You see in different ways. And when we see the world in different ways, then we throw it out And we project it on the world. That's our reality. According to my vision of the world, I will look at you and decide whether you are a friend or an enemy. You see? So if you come here to this forest, and I'm in the mode of goodness, you're my friend. If you come here to this forest, and I'm in the mode of passion, you're my enemy, because I want that tree. And if you come here, and I'm in the mode of ignorance, I won't even notice, because I'm too drunk. So, there is a story about a captain of a ship, and he was going across the ocean, and it was midnight, middle of the night, and he couldn't see anything. But he just saw a light off in the distance. And he said, that ship, he said, that's coming towards me. The ship is coming towards me, he said. I will have to give a warning signal. So he sent out a warning signal with his light. Every ship has a light on it. And he said, you must move. You're on a collision course. And the sign came back. No. You move. And he said, and the story goes on. But he said, you must move. He said, I'm a captain of the ship. You must move. He said, no, you move. He said, but I'm the captain of a British Royal Navy battleship. Send him the sign. And the sign came back, no, you move. I am a lighthouse. How do you translate lighthouse? Huh? Svetirnik? Svetirnik. Okay. So he had, So he thought the other person had to move because his upadi was, I am a ship. So as soon as he saw the light, he thought, and that is a ship. He didn't realize that he was projecting his own upadi on someone else. So this is what mode of passion does. It subjugates, it puts people down, tries to remove competition, and misidentifies everything in the world. We are having a big festival. We are in Bhaktivedanta Manor. We're building a new building. And we're having a festival, an Abhishek festival. And we're going to do the Abhishek for Srila Prabhupada, Murti, and also for the Radha Gokulananda Shatari, which devotees have. When you go to Mayapur, you have this. It looks like a helmet. It looks like a helmet with Radha Krishna's shoes at the top, or Nrisingadev's shoes, or Gauranatha's shoes. It looks like a helmet, but it's not a helmet. There is the shoes, the padukas, and the pitam, which is just a stand, but it's made to fit your head, so you get the blessings of the shoes. So, if you look at it and you think, it's all about me, it's a helmet. But if you think of it, if you look at it and you think, it's all about Krishna, it's the shoes. You see? According to your upadi, you see in a different way. So this is called the Shatari. So we were going to ask all our Indian community to come and take part. And we wanted to know, why is it called the Shatari? So I looked it up. When you are a jiva in the womb of your mother, you remember Krishna and you pray to Krishna. This life, no more upadi. No more rajaguna. No more tamashguna. Only sattvaguna and just pure remembrance of you, my Lord. I promise, this lifetime. And then comes the vayu, the wind of being born. And you forget everything. And this wind of being born is called Shatavayu, Shatavayu, which gives you, it means the wind which deceives you. Just like you have a magician on the street, or a criminal on the street. You have these criminals, they have three cups. Yeah? You have these, they come on the street, and you have a ball under the cup, and you have to guess, and they've deceived you. You put money down, and then they take your money. You have those? It's such a nice country, you don't get those people. So, sometimes you are deceived. One man will come to you and will talk to you very nicely. Excuse me, this is my first time in Ljubljana. I don't know where I am. Could you tell me how to get to the castle? Yes, well, you have to take a number 4 bus and it takes you up the hill. And meanwhile, the man's friend is robbing your pocket. Okay? So, he's pretending to be lost. He's pretending to be humble. He's pretending to be submissive. But meanwhile, someone is stealing from you. So this is called deception. So this Shatavayu is like that. The Shatavayu comes to the baby and takes away the understanding that I am a servant of Krishna. So now, if someone is the enemy of that Shatavayu, he's called Shatari. Shatari. Just like we have the enemy of the animals. Animal is Mrga. Mrga. Enemy of Mrgari. Mrgari, the hunter. Enemy of the animals. Then the enemy of Ravana. Ravan. Ravanari. Ravanari is the name of Lord Ram is the enemy of Ravan. See, you put Ari on the end, and it means the enemy of. So Shatari, the enemy of your false ego. So when you get the padukas of the Lord on your head, the padukas, the sandals, the shoes, then your false ego disappears. Okay? Little explanation for you. So how do we do this? This is all being given to Arjuna. And Arjuna is, you would think that Krishna at the end is going to say, my dear son, my dear friend, please give up this fighting. Don't fight anymore. This is just false ego. You're not a kshatriya. You're a pure spirit soul. Give it all up and go and meditate. Does Krishna say this? No, he doesn't. He's saying, okay, you have this identity, use it to serve me. And in this way we become purified. Our messages often, as our ISKCON mission, are that you can have an ashram in ISKCON, but you can never have a varna. Prabhuji, what is your name? This is how you, in an ISKCON temple, everybody will say, Prabhuji, what is your name? What is your country? Next question. Who is your guru? They always ask this question, don't they? Who is your guru? What is your name? What is your country? Where are you from? Or they might ask, how long are you staying? And then they say, who is your guru? They want to give you an identity. This is the identity that you have in ISKCON, isn't it? It's the ID. Maybe we should just wear badges. Name, country, guru. Okay? Then you can just go anywhere in ISKCON and they don't have to ask those questions. So then if they want to ask a little bit more and you're dressed on the street, they will say, what ashram are you in? Sometimes they say, what ashram are you? Are you brahmacharya or grihastha? We only have three, don't we? If you're a sannyasi, usually you'll be dressed in saffron. Or sometimes nice Bermuda shorts. depending on which sannyasi you have. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. It's inside. But varna we never talk about. We never talk about varna, no? You'll never ask a devotee, what is your varna? Okay? Why is that? They don't know. We don't know varna. But everybody has one because you're a kshatriya, you're a vaishya, you're a shudra, you're a brahmana. Of course, everybody wants to be a Brahmana and no one wants to be a Shudra. So ISKCON has no farms. We want to be known as Brahmins, but no one wants to cook. We just had a visit from the Minister of Deity Worship, Nrisinga Kavacha. He says, very nice. Everybody wants to distribute books and make money. Especially the temple presidents want their devotees to go out, distribute books and make money. But no one wants to serve the deities. He says, it's a big problem we have. So we have to bring in pujaris from Bengal and Bangladesh, and they stay for 6 months, then they get married and go to America. Because they also have an upadhi. My upadhi is that I'm from Bangladesh, but I want to be an American. I have this upadhi, but I want to have another upadhi. So this doesn't work. So brahmana means you do these things. Yajana, yajana, patana, patana. What's the other one? I forget. Yajana, yajana. You're doing sacrifices for others, you're doing sacrifices for yourself. You're learning, your studies, svadhyay, you're learning, and you're teaching. You're teaching. The different classes of Brahmins. The first class Brahmin, he'll teach you without asking you for any money. Now, as a disciple of that Brahmana, you're supposed to come with something. Some ghee or grains. The verse is samit pani, with wood in your hands. Because every day the guru is doing a sacrificial fire. He's doing a fire yagya, agnihotra, agnihoma. So the disciple is meant to bring ghee and grains and some wood. Otherwise, especially if the guru is old, how can he go out picking up wood? That's why Krishna and Sudama, they were sent out. They were disciples of Sandipani Muni. They were sent out to pick up wood. This is what every disciple does. You go and fetch wood for the fire, for cooking, and for the daily fire yagya. This is what the guru is. He's teaching you the mantras, but he's also showing you how to do the sacrificial fire. So this is traditional. In Japan, in the Japanese Buddhist tradition, they have an expression. Before you become enlightened, chop wood, fetch water. You know, you've heard that? After you become enlightened, chop wood, fetch water. But now you'll do it in enlightened consciousness. Anyway, the point here is that each ashram has a particular service. So Brahmacharya ashram is for study. Grihastha ashram is for charity. Vanaprastha ashram is for austerity. And sannyasa ashram is for renunciation. These things, these are the flavors. Just like I have ice cream, I have vanilla ice cream, I have mango ice cream, I have orange ice cream, and I have, what else, grape. These are the flavors. We don't mix, we have four different ones. So in the same way, varna means what do I do? So at some point, I feel that ISKCON must also give advice to those who are not Brahmins. Because we have so many people who come, and they stay for some time, and they go, and they still have to live. They still have to make money. They still have to support themselves. So we are meant to be the brahmanas of society. Prabhupada wanted to create a young devotee came to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, I want to be a kshatriya for Krishna. He said, no. He said, that is not my movement. He said, we don't have any room for kshatriyas. He said, I'm trying to create brahmanas. But brahmanas deal with ordinary people. It is very nice to be asat sangha tyag, a Vaishnava achara. Asat sangha is the first symptom of a Vaishnava. He doesn't mix with ordinary people. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose disappearance day it is tomorrow, he said, this doesn't mean you don't go to work. He says, this just doesn't mean that you cannot be in the marketplace with people. You have to be with people in their life to be a Brahmin. Being a Brahmin means teaching people not only in the ashram, but going to where they are. Supposing someone is in the coffee shop, or in the home, or in the school, the factory. It means to go to teach these people. And if you teach sincerely, everybody will understand what it is they have to do and add the Hare Krishna mantra to their life. You see, they add the Hare Krishna mantra to their life, but that doesn't mean I give you some beads and now I also want your hair. Okay? We don't say, here's some japa beads, now shave your head. Because most people won't do that. Firstly, shaving the head is only for two types of people. One is a young boy who comes into the ashram. And the other is for an older man who becomes a sannyasi. In between, people are quite hairy. Arjuna didn't get to the end of the Bhagavad Gita and then Krishna says, oh, mame kam sharanam braja. Oh, and by the way, shave your head. Doesn't say that. So we have to, people are very much steeped in an identity, and working within that upadi does not get dissolved overnight simply because they have some beads. It's like Prabhupada gave the example of the thief who joined the pilgrimage party. You know, in India sometimes there's bandits, robbers on the road. And so you have to travel when you're going on yatra to a holy place. You travel with as many people as possible for safety, especially at night. You sleep all in the same tent or you sleep together under the same tree to be protected. Anyway, there was this one thief and he was thinking, I really want to rob these people, but I would like to go on pilgrimage. I'd really like to rob these people, but I still want to go on pilgrimage. So he had this mixed motivation. I want to see Krishna, but I also want to. So what happened at night was that he stayed awake at night when everybody else was sleeping, and he wanted to steal their bags, but because he wanted to go on pilgrimage, he had to stay with them. So he just picked up this person's bag and moved it and put it over there. And then he picked this one up and he moved it and he put it over there. So he still had some contact with his upadi, but he still kept his, you know, religious feeling as well. So for working with people, we say, okay, you are in the mode of passion. You want to make money. Okay, make some money for Krishna. We had one man, he was selling fruit. This is a true story. I will tell you now a true story of how to get rich. Would you like to know how to get rich? Shall I tell you? I have the secret. One time we had a very nice temple called Chaitanya College. And the deities were Sri Panchatattva. And above them, on the altar, was Jagannath Swami. So the whole altar was shaped like a rath yatra chariot, okay, with Jagannath above and Panchatattva below. So one time, one young man who was selling fruit and vegetables, he came to the temple and he said, I must be very honest with you. He said, I really, really want to become rich. Can you give me blessings? Is he from an Indian family? Can you give me blessings that I can become rich? They said, devotee said, yes. He said, how do I get those blessings? He said, well, you go and you pay dandavats to Panchatattva. And they will give you unlimited blessings. Okay? So he said, okay. He said, I will pay dandavats to Panchatattva. So he went over and he paid dandavats for about 20 minutes. He was there. Like this. He didn't fall asleep, but he really, really wanted ashirwad, koti koti ashirwad, lots and lots of blessings. So he now has, he's now one of the richest men in England. He is worth about 7 billion. Billion. Now, he just had his daughter's wedding. And so the devotee said to, "Oh, you know, this is, you like this." So then, he said, the devotee said to him, "Okay, now you're very, very rich. You should, still keep your spiritual life. Don't you remember? You know, you have 7 billion English pounds. You should keep your, religion." He said, "Oh, yes, that's very good." So then, why don't you take your family to the holy places in India? He said, "Oh, very good idea." He said, "You can go to Vrindavan and go to Mayapur and all these places." He said, "Okay, very good. I will do that." So the devotees thought, okay, he's going to take his whole family. So then they came back a few months later and they said, "Did you go to the holy places?" He said, "Oh, yes." Next question, usual question. "Where did you go?" "Oh, I went to Vrindavan, Jayapur, I went to all these places." He said, "Where did you go? Did you go British Airways?" He said, no, I bought an airplane." He said, "How much did you pay for the airplane?" $60 million. He'd bought a full-size jet, completely changed it on the inside, hired a pilot, hired staff, and flew. But he followed the advice. He'd flown his family to the holy places. It's good, huh? So now, we said to him, "Okay, now you can shave your head." No. You don't sell a person like that to shave their head. Because he loves money. He loves making money. But he also loves Krishna. So now, next question. Can you give some money for Krishna? This is a very good question. But every morning he comes to the temple and he sings in front of Radha and Krishna. And I was there one morning and I've tried to live a Brahmin lifestyle. So that doesn't make you rich. It'll never make you rich. Wearing this will not make you rich. Okay? Cutting all your hair off, let me tell you, will not make you rich. Yajana, yajana, patana, patana will not make you rich. In fact, the three different types of Brahmins I told you about. One Brahmin, he will teach you and he will never ask you for a penny. Second type of Brahmin, he will teach you and then he will ask for something. The third type of Brahmin, he won't teach you until you give him something. Dakshina first. Okay? Dakshina first. And the other one, Dakshina, you give me or don't give me. I don't mind. This is a top acharya. Top acharya. Then it comes down to someone called an upadhyay. Then comes down to a dwija. Okay? So there's different types of brahmana based on how much fear they have. So sometimes we have fear. If I take to Krishna consciousness, will I be happy? Will I be able to pay? One time I came to a devotee. I think I'd been living in the ashram as a brahmachari for 6 months. And I said to a devotee, I said, "I'm not sure whether I can stay." He said, "Why?" He said, well, there's things I want to do. He said, "Like what?" I said, "Well, you know, I really want to travel the world and see everything. And, you know, just, I'm not sure if I just want to decide to be a devotee right now. I'm only 17. I was only 17. So he said, "No, you've already made a decision." I said, "No, I'm still thinking about it. But I want to travel." He said, "Look, just trust me. If you make this decision to be a devotee, Krishna will make arrangements for you to do everything you've ever wanted to do, but for him." you want money, you'll get money, but because he gives it to you and because you're working for him. If you want to travel, you'll travel. He said, if you want to be a big man in ISKCON, you can be a big man in ISKCON. He said, and then he started, he said, you know what? He said, I see you. He said, you have the makings of a sannyasi. He said, you could be a big devotee. I said, I think in 5 years you could be a sannyasi. And my chest went, and I thought, really? You think so? He said, yep, for sure, I know. I said, I've seen something in you that's very special. What a trickster. So I never did go to Tibet. I never went to Tibet. I always wanted to go to Tibet. I never went to Tibet. And I never became a sannyasi. But I got a lot of other things along the way. So we have to understand that there is such a thing as Varna. It doesn't disappear simply if you don't talk about it. Okay? Like in Korea, in North Korea, they have banned the word God. You cannot use the word God, you cannot say the word God. If you say the word God, you'll get arrested as being mentally ill or making false propaganda. In the dictionary, the Korean dictionary, the word God has been taken out. So children, they don't even know the word. So the whole idea is to prevent people from even having the concept of God. So you take away the word and people can't think of it, you see? That's why Prabhupada wanted to put not only the word God back in, but the word Krishna. Because if you have the word Krishna, you can think of Krishna. So, because we don't use the word Varna, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Varna exists as a combination of the modes of nature. So as brahmanas in Srila Prabhupada's movement, what we have to do is to be able to give people advice how to work according to their varna, jai shishi panchatattva. According to their varna, so that gradually they become free from their conditioning. And those that are more free, more desirous, then we can add Krishna consciousness to their life. But there is a purpose behind this Krishna consciousness movement. Two purposes. One is to be devotees, to be Vaishnavas, and make Vaishnavas of ordinary people. And those ordinary people that don't wish to become Vaishnavas, for us then to become, for them, brahmanas, so that we can give good advice. Because eventually people will come to us for good advice. People come to us for good advice. In England, they come to us for good advice. Sometimes politicians will come to us. They said, we're going around all the different religions and we're asking for good advice. So what is good advice for you? How do you think we can improve this situation? How do you think we can help young people away from drugs? Big problem, young people and drugs. So in one particular country, there was ISKCON and there was another group, another sort of Hindu-based yoga group. And they asked the Hindu-based yoga group and ISKCON, the government now wants to have a program for helping young people off drugs. What can you do? ISKCON said, we don't do that. We don't have a program for helping young people off drugs. But when people come to us, then we preach them to become devotees of Krishna. They said, thank you very much. And they went to the other group and they said, can you help us help young people away from drugs? And they said, of course. We have a program for that. So then they got the government money. So not that we're only interested in making people Krishna conscious. But Prabhupada said, we are interested in reducing the fever of material life. A good doctor, he's not only interested in perfect health, but he's also interested in doing the first thing first, which is reducing the fever so that a person can gradually come back to ordinary, healthy life. So this is also ISKCON's business. And for that, we need to have an understanding of Varna. Okay, I'm going to finish there so that we have some chat. Chat means two things. In India, it means a spicy dish with noodles and yogurt. And in England, chat means discussion. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Well, we have 5 minutes. Yes. Huh? What is your name? What is your name? Oh.
Thank you very much for this one. There's a big talk about this Varna Ashram manifest within ISKCON, right?
About yeah.
50% was not done by Prabhupada and all
the yeah.
directions or
yeah.
discussion and stuff. How do you see in practical sense how this actually manifests within ISKCON nowadays?
Yeah. No, not really, not as far as Varnashram is concerned. Well, if you say the words Varnashram to a devotee, he immediately thinks of a cow. Huh? Farm cow, cabbage. Tomatoes. So Prabhupada often used to run the two things together, Varnashram and living in the country. Making your own food and milk and basing your life upon the cow and the bull. But we still don't hear about Varna. We hear about ashram and then cows and bulls. But for Varnashram to work, we have to have a very good understanding of Varna. The difficulty is that after the Second World War, in Europe, the idea that one human being was intrinsically different from another human being, this idea fell flat. Nobody likes this idea. Nobody likes this idea even that a Brahmin knows more or is superior to a person who's a non-Brahmin. They don't like this idea, you see. It's very, very difficult. Even we have a hierarchy in everything. Prabhupada said you have a hierarchy in flowers. He said a rose that smells sweetly is actually a higher flower than a small weed. A weed? Weed. So he said that a nice dish of eggplant sabji and hot puri. He said this is superior to a dish made of raw oats mixed with molasses. He says, but sometimes a poor man, he just has his raw oats and molasses and makes a mash and eat. Okay. I used to live in Africa. 2 years I spent in Africa. And their favorite dish, the local Africans, their favorite dish was corn mash, boiling water, stirred. That was it. They would think this is a feast. Meanwhile, there was avocados. An avocado? Avocado? Dropping off the tree on the ground, and no one was picking them up because they didn't have the taste. It was a subtle taste. But there is a hierarchy in food, there's a hierarchy in intelligence, there's a hierarchy in social behavior. That's why we give one person the highest award in Slovenia. What is the highest award someone can get for being a good person or for being an intelligent person? You have an award?
There are.
In England, we make someone a lord or a sir, or we give them a medal, something like that, you know. In India, they have the Padma Bhushan award. You know, if you're an inventor and you create something that's good for everybody, you get the Padma Bhushan award. Okay. So there is a difference between a person who does something for other people and a person who does nothing for anyone else except himself. There's a hierarchy. But these days, if you talk about hierarchies, people don't like it. There was also a hierarchy in religion. And people don't like that idea. We have a big problem with religion now. All over Europe. Different types of religion. With different... a God who sometimes becomes very angry. So some religions have a very angry God, and some religions have a very beautiful God. Okay? A very peaceful God. And there's a hierarchy. Some conceptions of God are in Satvash, some are in Rajash, and some are in Tamash. Okay? My God is very angry. Jananda Goswami, he preaches in Malaysia, and he said one popular god in Malaysia is called Maniandi, and he has two hands like this in his temple. There's temples all over the place. Maniandi has two things. In one hand, when you come to do worship, you must put cigarettes, and in the other hand, you must put beer. Maniandi will be very pleased and he will give you blessings. So this is a very, very low down on the hierarchy. Very low on the hierarchy. But people don't like the idea. They like, no, every human being is equal. Every human being is equal. Unfortunately, we do not share those convictions. Every soul is equal. And we are meant to offer every soul same respect, whether that soul is in the body of an ant or whether that body is in the body of Ananta. From the ant up to Ananta is a big hierarchy. He is at the top. That's why he's the temple president. And the ant is in the boga room eating the banana. So there's a hierarchy of living beings. But we give respect to ants and we give respect to Ananta. But we know the difference between them. We know the difference between them. That's why it is said, you should offer respects to all living entities, all jivas, you should give respect. But still, do not embrace the tiger. One time I was with Shivaram Swami at 12 o'clock at night, in Andhra Pradesh. We were driving in a taxi and I saw a very big dog in the road. And you know what happens in India. The taxi drivers, they just, you know, they see a dog and they put their foot on the accelerator. They go faster, 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 and then you hear a arr, 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 arr. So I'm always telling the taxi drivers, hasti, 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 slow, 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 roko, roko. So there was this big dog, and the closer we got to the dog, obviously the bigger the dog got, and I was looking, looking, looking. And you know, I'm British, and we like dogs, so I was going to put my hand out the window and give it a pat. And as we passed by the dog, it went, and it wasn't a dog at all, it was a tiger. Tiger! A real tiger. And I came that close to a real tiger. Even if you're British, don't get close to a tiger. There was one lady who works in a zoo in Britain just 2 weeks ago. And she was killed. She works in the zoo. She feeds the tigers. Somehow or another, the tiger jumped and killed her. And they interviewed her mother on the television. And she said, my daughter has always loved tigers. She's always loved tigers. What can I say? You may want to imagine, but for real, don't embrace the tiger. So in the same way, we have to respect everybody equally, but we have to see that there is a hierarchy. There's a hierarchy. And fundamentalist religion, it said, is like the shallow end of a swimming pool. When you go to a swimming pool, it's a British joke. Okay? Religion is like a swimming pool. All the noise comes from the shallow end. Okay? Where there's no water. So people are very angry about their religion when they don't have much knowledge. And if you have knowledge of religion, deep, deep knowledge, the greater the knowledge you have, especially if you go and you reach the level of buddhi, just not book knowledge, but buddhi, then your knowledge will shine. You don't even have to say anything. Therefore, sometimes a person can be a sadhu, but he's not a guru until you can convince him to share some of his knowledge with you. And some devotees are very, very knowledgeable, but they don't share very much. Some devotees share, but they don't know very much. So you have to find a person who knows a lot and can share a lot. And then you found a guru. But they're only a guru if they teach you. But my point is here, is that not all religions are the same, because not all people are the same, because some people are very much in the mode of passion and ignorance. And that only leads to, it leads to fundamentalism and it leads to violence. And now we used to have a peaceful country, now we have a dangerous country. Dangerous country. Now sometimes people say, well, you British, you shouldn't have gone to the Middle East, you should have just left it all alone. And this is even normal. We also say, well, actually, if you teach violence and you practice violence, then eventually it will come. So we have something to give, and I think we have something to contribute to a world which is very confused about life, how to lead a life that will be happy now and happy later. And there's a difference between shreyas and prayas. We have to go for the long, long distance happiness. We can teach people how to live healthy. Don't eat certain things. Not good for you. Give it up. Eat other things. That is good for you. Don't always be thinking selfishly. Like this verse says, person in the mode of passion, what happens to them? You perform your actions with great effort. You gratify your desires. First of all, don't have so many desires. Even these desires aren't going to make you happy. And let us help you with your false ego problem. Of course, that means that each one of you have to be free from false ego as well. So they came to Prabhupada and they said, shouldn't we be free from false ego before we preach? And Prabhupada just laughed. He said, if you're going to wait for that day to come, he said that day will never come. He said, but preach and you'll become pure. You'll become pure. All right. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for listening. I am delighted. Hare Krishna. Did we finish? I think we did, didn't we? You've been sitting there a long time. Yes, let's go, let's finish. And then if anybody wants to discuss, we can discuss here. Yeah, thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavad Gita ki jai.